Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Millwall captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Pete Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Millwall are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is here!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Tonight, myself, Jay and Buster will go over the 2-1 defeat to St Johnston, summarise our thoughts and feelings on the appointment of Stephen Robinson as our new manager. We'll also be joined for a guest slot with Ryan Murren, the fan engagement officer at Motherwell, who will give us a bit of a lowdown on the SLO recruitment at Fir Park, fan engagement itself, and also kind of give us a wee bit of feedback from the survey that was recently conducted across the club's supporters. How's it going, guys?
Aye, no bad. Very good, thank you.
Good stuff. Well, Jay, it was an improved performance, certainly on Saturday against St Johnston. In the end, it's the kind of same old story this season. Individual errors proving costly and a disappointing 2-1 defeat. But that being said, we can take a few positives from the performance, I would say. And given that results didn't go particularly badly for us elsewhere, we've got to kind of look at it as it was a start of a new dawn, so to speak, under a new manager. Yes, we lost, but the performance, the work rate was there. So it's kind of, maybe I'm trying to cloud over it, but or paper over the cracks, but I was encouraged by what I saw at Fir Park on Saturday.
No, I tend to agree. I mean, to be honest, when we left after, well, I still haven't shaken off the shock of Bowman's header not actually going in. That was my overriding feeling after the game, was just the sheer shock of that, how it managed to stay out. But I think I genuinely didn't believe there would be very many Motherwell fans who would have came away from Fir Park. Obviously you're disappointed if you lose the game, but I thought that the mood would have been as positive as it can be after a defeat, considering the improved performance and the spells of dominance we had, the chances we created. So it was quite a surprise yesterday when I noticed Steelman online and social media, quite a few Motherwell fans were somehow outraged at the performance and things like that. I mean, there's obviously no pleasing some people, or more to the point, there's obviously people who decided they were going to be outraged before a ball had even been kicked. I thought we played reasonably well. We played far better than we have done in the vast majority of this season. We looked fairly organised. A couple of players perhaps without, maybe just below average. You know, I thought Pearson, for example, has looked largely disinterested since he came back. A mistake from Ferguson for the second goal, but you know, if you're chucking in young guys at the back in quite a pressure situation, then these things are going to happen. Missed chance for McDonald, but I thought there were plenty of positives there as well. I thought McDonald overall had a good game. Freer, for me, was man of the match. I think he was a fantastic contribution in the day. A lot of what we did positively going forward was through Freer down the left. You know, you could have had two penalties, the decisions, the fouls in Cadden and McDonald. I just don't understand why MD... Yes, be disappointed with the result, but I think overall we probably deserved a point, if not all three. I thought we were, you know, particularly at the end of the first half, we dominated, you know, it was chance after chance. And if we'd actually went in at half time having not scored, it would have been an absolute travesty. So I'm not massively positive because we are still where we are in the division and there's still a lot of tough games ahead. But what we saw on Saturday for me was just vastly improved from what's kind of been served up under McGee. I'm content with that. Perhaps not delighted, but I'm perfectly content because another day we could have scored 4 or 5 on Saturday.
Buster, we talked about it after the game, and for me, despite all the positives, that is the kind of game that a team that gets relegated loses. That very much we're competitive against a side that have been pretty consistent all season. They're comfortably in the top six yet again. Particularly at the start of the second half, I thought we had the momentum. We'd obviously scored just before half time. And then one individual error, we find ourselves 2-1 down. The Ryan Bowman header in injury time comes back off the inside of the post, rolls along the goal line and somehow doesn't end up in the bottom corner of the opposite end of the goal. Just a hard one to take, and you've got to start picking up points. I know for all the positives, and myself included, I was fairly upbeat despite the fact we lost. But I suppose it tells the same story. We get no points from the game, and just as much as we were last week, maybe a wee bit more. We're right in that dogfight and fighting for our lives.
Yeah, I think the only thing that changed in the bottom there was Inverness gained a point on us on drew level with Hamilton. But as Jay says, the attitude seemed a lot more positive on Saturday there. There seemed to be a bit more fight about the team at least. The first goal we lost was outrageous. It was shocking, to be fair. The full back four, the ball goes in behind Hamill. McHugh lets the man run in behind Hamill. Hamill's miles away from it. I don't know where Zach Jules went. The boy Craig is then allowed to just wander into the box. And to be fair, the cross was right on his head. He couldn't have missed, to be fair. But, defensively, it was absolutely shocking. And if you watch it back and you have to wonder, what our defence was thinking. But, as you said, it's one of those games where, fair play to St. Johnstone, first of all, they're a good team. Obviously, they're doing very well. I think that's now 6 years in the trot they've been in the top six. But, they weren't on the ball on Saturday. We should really have put them to the sword, to be fair. We two or three good chances, which we missed. I think with two penalty shouts as well, which were near enough very blatant. Obviously, as you say, Skippy missed an absolute sitter as well. But it was one of those games where if we do continue to make these stupid mistakes in defence and we don't take any chances when we have them, we're going to find ourselves struggling even more so, to be fair. But I think we've been kind of lucky that Inverness and Hamilton are slightly worse than us so far this season. There's, 7 or 8 games to go now, so it's about time where we really need to actually start putting a win or two together. I know we've not won more than once in a row all season, so we've got a couple of games coming up, but we really need to take a couple of points. But as you say, it was disappointing to not come away with a point on Saturday at least.
Jay, we've not got a game this weekend with the international break. We return at Ibrox on the 1st of April for what will be a very difficult game, if anything. If we're to take anything from results already against Rangers this season. But I don't want to look too far ahead in terms of previewing the Rangers game, but following that, you've got Hamilton at home, a trip to Partick Thistle, and then the last game before the split is a home game against Inverness. These are games against teams around us in the league. It's where our future is likely to be decided. It's, for me, the most encouraging thing is, and it had been lacking in previous weeks, it didn't look like the team had the fight and the battle for a relegation battle. That's now kind of changed on the back of Saturday for me. I think that the team demonstrated a lot of heart. They looked absolutely devastated at losing as well, which, again, I've been moaning about the fact this season is lose goals and no one's shouting at each other, no one's a leader on the park. So I suppose another positive there is that we can go into these last four games. Every one of them we've got a possibility of getting something from. In these last three games, I really believe that we're good enough to get out of this situation.
Yeah, I mean, the simple fact is, when you look at some of our previous defeats before Saturday, you were losing games because we were rank rotten. You were losing games because we looked like a defeated side. We looked like a side, you know, almost coming to terms with relegation. We looked like a side that didn't have the mentality to fight and battle. Whereas we lost Saturday because partly because we just didn't have the luck. I mean, that was it. You know, yes, there was a couple of mistakes. I think at some point we're going to have to accept that we are poor defensively. And so for the remainder of the season, it might be a case of having to go out there and try and outscore the opposition, because you're not going to shut up shop and squeeze a 1-0 victory out of very many teams, because we're going to concede goals. But, you know, as I said, on another day, we would have got those goals on Saturday. And that's the big difference for me. I'm still very disappointed we didn't take in for the game, particularly because, you know, time is running out to really, you know, put some distance between ourselves and the bottom of the league. But we lost on Saturday because of a bit of bad luck, poor finishing, some dodgy refereeing, and, you know, the law of physics or gravity or whatever it was that kept out Ryan Bowman's header. Whereas previously we've lost games because we've just looked like absolute dross. So there is positives there. I mean, it's not the greatest, but we are in a position where you need to kind of latch onto those positives. And yes, the Rangers game's pretty much a write-off. I don't think we are particularly expecting or even really hoping for anything there. But those three games you mentioned, you know, Aki's, Thistle and Inverness, those are massively important. Yes, you will play two of the three and after the split, possibly all three, depending on how Thistle go and their kind of challenge for the top six. So yes, you will get to revisit them and get to play them again, and there's points to be won after the split. But if we can go into the split with a good cushion, you know, a decent-sized cushion between ourselves and the bottom two places, then that can, you know, make or break the last five games. Because if we go in and we're not, you know, a decent number of points ahead, or we're actually, you know, second bottom or joint bottom or whatever it is, then that's when things really, that's when squeaky bum time really kicks in. So these, the three games you mentioned, particularly the home games, you know, Aki's and Inverness at home, if we can win both of those, then we'll be all right, I think. And to be honest, if we play like we did on Saturday, I would like to think that we would have enough about us to win both of those games. So that's why I'm continuing to be optimistic, and I'm quite content with Saturday, because I saw enough on Saturday that I think that there's more than enough there to go into the home games against Aki's and Inverness and beat both of them and put ourselves in a comfortable, not a comfortable position as such, but put ourselves in a more comfortable position getting into the split than we possibly could be in.
Well, there was certainly one real result about 2 minutes ago there where I started to choke midway through asking that question. So I'm glad that I managed to get it out and you managed to understand the question enough to answer it. Buster, the home forum is another issue that we've talked about quite a lot over the course of the season. Still only three wins at home. And I know Jay pointed out there, like, particularly at home against Inverness and against Aki's, you would expect us to win, but we've really struggled at home this season for reasons kind of beyond me. I don't know whether it's maybe actually the fact that we've now got a nice pitch that the other teams are coming and playing football against us and coming away with positive results, because in previous seasons, our home form is what was the grounds for our success, and that's just not there this season. Teams, I don't even know if there was a fear factor previously, but there was certainly, we were able to make home advantage count, and it's just not happening this season.
As you says, you know, if anything, you want to make it a hard game when teams, you know, teams come to your home ground. I can't really think at any time this season where we have particularly put up a decent fight. Maybe against Celtic at home, you know, and obviously the one or two that we've won at Aki's at home and things like that, we've actually shown, you know, this is our home ground and that we're going to make it hard for these. But as you say, this season it's been poor. We've been poor all everywhere we go. You know, it's not just obviously the home form, as you're well aware, but you'd expect at least to make it hard for teams when they come to Firth Park. But unfortunately, this season that's not just happened either. you say we've got a couple of games coming up at Firpa, which we do need to win. Again, going from Saturday, the attitude certainly seems to have picked up a bit. You know, there certainly seems to be a bit of a fight, a bit of, you know, a bit of bite and a bit of dig about them. But it's simple things like, you know, making these errors and no tracking your man and stuff like that. Our inability to stop a cross coming into the box, and when the crosses do come into the box, our inability to win the header in there. I know we're having difficulties with our defence. Obviously, there's a lot of players out, a lot of players injured. I think it was Jules who's not been training during the week, then just coming in and playing on a Saturday. But, you know, Jay's a wee bit more confident than me by the sounds of it, but it's those wee sort of niggly mistakes that we need to try and cut out. Because if we can stop the ball coming out of the box, for example, we probably wouldn't have lost half the goals we've lost at Firth Park this year. The big boy for Dundee ran as ragged. Again, high ball into the box. He was winning headers left, right and centre. So it's the wee mistakes like that for me that we need to actually try and clamp down on. And, you know, from there, hopefully we'd start to pick up a bit more points at home, and hopefully in the next couple of games at Firth Park, pick up the points here and, as Jane U says, make that wee bit of space.
The waiting game for us to appoint Mark McGee's successor ended last Wednesday when Stephen Robinson was given the role on a permanent basis. Jay, I suppose if I was to look at the bigger picture and kind of assess it all, it was a predictable appointment. I don't know whether it's fair to call it a convenience appointment, but obviously Stephen Robinson was around the football club. He had just returned a week or so before Mark McGee was sacked. He's got experience of working around the football club, something that the other candidates didn't have, or certainly the candidates that the bookmakers and the press thought were in the running for the job. So for me, I'm fairly satisfied with Robinson's appointment. I've seen enough of his in the game against Kilmarnock. It wasn't the Aberdeen game, but then the game against St Johnstone on Saturday, that he's got the team a good bit more organised. The players are certainly trying for him and look fully committed to the cause. So it's now up to Robinson to just try and produce a few results and get us out of this. It's not a stopgap. It's a longer term contract. He'll be up until the end of the 2017-2018 season. So he's going to be given time to do his job, put his own stamp on things. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I know there was a few disappointed that perhaps would have preferred Simo Vallecari, or a few have called it a cheap appointment. I don't tend to agree with that. I think that if you're going to interview four or five candidates, then you're already pretty much decided that you're going to pay for the best candidate, and the Motherwell board and the Welsh Society have chosen Stephen Robinson as that strongest candidate. So hopefully the supporters put the negativity and the doubts to one side and get behind them, because we really do, and we've said it many times before, we need to be pushing in the same direction now, get behind the manager, because let's face it, the atmosphere has died at Firth Park in recent times because of discontent over Mark McGee and his leadership of the team and people's kind of dislike to him for whatever reason. And it's affected the crowds, it's affected the atmosphere inside the games as well. So it's time for positivity, and surely that will have a positive effect on what we're seeing on the park as well.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the atmosphere, I thought the first half anyway, the atmosphere was pretty good. At Firth Park on Saturday, at least down our section down the far end, it was certainly a little bit busier and a little bit noisier than it has been in recent weeks. And probably that is down to Mark McGee having gone. Obviously, the actual numbers of the day suggest that all those that pretended Mark McGee was the reason that they weren't coming to Firth Park, you know, they haven't changed their minds and flooded back, because it was, what, about 3,300 or something like that. So obviously, all those who have been using Mark McGee as the excuse to not bother coming haven't, you know, decided to actually start coming back yet, because there wasn't, you know, upwards of 4,000 there on Saturday. But I think in terms of atmosphere and that, I think that will that'll probably improve. As I said, I felt it did improve on Saturday, and I think that the fighting spirit and the chances we created, it all, you know, it all kind of comes together, and that kind of spurs on the atmosphere. So I think that I'd like to think the atmosphere will be decent at Fir Park from now until the end of the season, because people know we're in a dogfight. There isn't that sort of, you know, Mark McGee cloud over things for a lot of people who come to games. So hopefully that will continue, because I did think it was, you know, markedly improved in the first half. In terms of Robinson himself, I don't agree he's the chief appointment. I think that's a lot of nonsense. If it was going to be the chief appointment, it would have been appointed, you know, about 2 hours after Mark McGee had left. I just think that's kind of a lazy criticism to make. Personally, it wouldn't have been my choice. I was very much early doors. I was edging towards Jim Duffy. Latterly, I was more in the Simo Vallecari camp. Unfortunately, neither. You know, I perhaps changed my mind a little bit in Jim Duffy after his article, in which he seemed either completely, you know, didn't seem to realise fan ownership existed at Fir Park, or was just dead against it. So I was quite disappointed that we didn't take the chance to have a sort of a fresher approach, and just, you know, sometimes you need to kind of just change things. So I do have my reservations with the appointment. I don't think it's the right appointment. We're talking about someone who is a fantastic coach, who I think speaks, you know, well about football. I get the impression that I will quickly become a Stephen Robinson fan in terms of, you know, his passion for the game and how he talks about football. I just think that first team coach who was assistant manager in one of the most disastrous management teams at Fir Park for a good few years probably wasn't the person to go with in the midst of a relegation battle. But time will tell. As I've already said, I think that the improvement was there to see on Saturday under Robinson. I do have faith in him that he will keep us up. I'm certainly not suggesting that, you know, he's going to be a disaster or anything like that. I just think it would have been a perfect chance to keep Robinson on the coaching staff, doing what he does best, and bring someone else in. But you're right, he's there now. He's now the manager. I'm more than happy to you know, get on with it. I'm more than happy to put any doubts or reservations I've had, you know, to one side, and fully support him and the players. Because if you can't fully support, regardless of what your opinions on Robinson or who should have got the job, if you can't support the manager and the players when you're, you know, in the midst of a relegation battle, then I don't really see when you can possibly support the team. So hopefully, you know, that will be the sort of the feeling in the stands, both home and away, between now and the end of the season. There are many people who will be disgruntled with the appointment, who will, you know, say it's the cheap appointment, whatever you want to say. But at the end of the day, he's now the Motherwell manager. The board have obviously put their faith in him by giving him not just a contract to the end of the season, but the end of next season. And we're all in it together, and we all want to stay in the division. So we need to just get right behind him. It's obvious he knows what he's talking about in terms of football coaching. Whether that translates into the dugout in terms of manager remains to be seen. But I do believe that there's a chance there to keep us up based on Saturday. I think I went into the game expecting us to get bumped. I said beforehand that I had 3-0 in my head for some reason. And although we lost the game, I was pleasantly surprised how we went about it. So we'll see how it pans out between now and the end of the season. Nobody can really know what Robinson's going to bring to the table in terms of a manager, just like we wouldn't have known what Duffy or Simo or anybody else would have brought. So we need to just accept he's a manager, get behind him, and hope that he can keep us in the division.
Yeah, I don't think we can add a great deal to that, but you were initially a bit disappointed by the appointment. Have you kind of warmed to the idea of Robinson in charge over the last almost a week or so since his appointment?
I have a bit, yes. Disappointed's maybe a strong word. I was pretty underwhelmed by his appointment. You know, I mean, I think, to be fair, watching the bookies odds and things like that, I think it was fairly obvious that he was going to be appointed. I know, we know the bookies have had it wrong by miles before, but when you're watching him and he's, you know, 1-10 and things like that, it's fairly obvious that it's going to happen. You know, it was maybe an ideal opportunity to bring somebody else in and change everything, you know, change the whole ethos of the club. Well, no, it's not also everything about the club, because whoever comes in is going to have to stick to the sort of plan that we've got in place, I suppose. But I was initially want to see maybe Owen Coyle in there, but you know, there was then rumours that he couldn't take a job because he, you know, his contract being cancelled by Blackburn, you know, the agreements in there and stuff like that. So, you know, as Jay says, it's in a promotion from within, if you want. Again, how somebody like McFadden would feel like that if he's come in a couple of weeks before and then to get him ahead of him again. I don't know if McFadden would even have wanted the job, to be fair, but as I say, we've all got to get behind him. From what he's put on the park so far, you said there's, as you said yourself, sorry, Sparrow, there's been a wee bit of a fighting spirit about the team. You know, I wasn't at Aberdeen like yourself either, but Kilmarnock and St Johnstone there, there was, you know, a bit more bite about the team compared to previous weeks. Still making, you know, daft mistakes, as I said, but it's something that we need to try and basically drill out the players and, you know, stop making these stupid mistakes. And if we can get that sorted in the next couple of weeks, I don't see why, you know, why it shouldn't have, yeah, a reasonably successful time. We'll take the first, you know, 2 or 3 months here to start with. If he can keep us up, basically, you know, he's come in there and he's been successful that way. And then from there on in, as you said, you know, he's got another year on top of his contract there. So whether or not he's been the guy bringing in some of these good players or pointing out some of these good players or, you know, having a look at them when they're pointed out to him, we'll find out. Because if he can bring in another couple of guys like, you know, William Bolt, Marvin Johnson, things like that, because that's obviously the kind of players we're going to be looking at, I'd like to think that we can bring in another one or two of them and move on if we can see it the rest of the season.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let's hope that he is able to turn things around and make it a successful end to the season, because the pressure certainly is on. Jay Buster, thanks very much for your time, as always, guys, tonight. What we're going to do now is go over to our interview recorded earlier, myself and Ryan Murren, to give us a bit of an idea on the SLO's fan engagement and his plans going forward at the football club. But as always, guys, thanks very much, and we'll catch up next week where at least we won't have to go over a defeat, eh?
Cheers. No bother, mate.
Well, most Motherwell fans will have noticed in recent weeks that advertisements have been going up for the position of SLOs at the football club. We've got today with us Ryan Murren, Head of Fan Engagement at Motherwell. Ryan, welcome along.
Hi there.
Well, for Scottish football fans, I suppose SLOs are somewhat of a new thing, a new kind of innovation and an effort to bring fans and the football club closer together. Could you give us a wee bit of background on what the role of an SLO entails, and also a wee bit of feedback on how well the ideas went down in terms of applicants?
Yeah, I mean, when I've worked in England, the Football League there were quite aggressive with asking clubs to appoint supporter liaison officers. But the default with it, and my biggest criticism of that was they were turning to people like myself to be the liaison, the supporter liaison, which works. Don't get me wrong, it does work. It works relatively well. But it, in my opinion, it shouldn't be someone that wears a collar and tie every week that is that point of contact, because I personally believe that all you can do is offer probably a more detailed level of customer stroke supporter service, if that makes sense, which isn't what the role is there to do. I mean, UEFA have it in their guidelines that every club should have a supporter liaison officer. Celtic I've taken it to the extreme, and they deliver it very well with John Paul, who's their full-time supporter liaison officer. But for clubs like us, we don't have financial resource to have someone full-time. So therefore, we have looked at a model that allows us to recruit four supporter liaison officers to the club, which will allow them to divide the work up between them and maybe represent a stand each across Fir Park on match days, and also an element of their time will be spent in their evenings or whatever they can find time in their diaries just to help with any problems. And basically, they basically become a conduit, if you like, between the supporters and the club. And it's not always about problems; it can be about improvements. It can be anything really that the supporters want to raise, you know, with the club. They can use them as a vehicle, you know, to escalate it really.
Yeah, it's looking at the job description just now, it does seem like quite a vast role in terms of responsibilities. Is the aim, as you say, they're with having a number of SLOs to divide the work, so it isn't the case that it almost becomes a full-time job for these volunteers?
I mean, I don't think we don't have any vision to have someone in a full-time position. What we want to do is to make the whole supporter experience better. Some of that falls into, you know, to my remit, to action changes, the things that have been raised in the survey that we're already doing. But some of it will fall out of that or be introduced via the SLOs as well, because we wanted to be as transparent as possible, because that's important for us as a club to have that relationship with supporters. And we also work with supporters direct to help us understand best practice, what had worked elsewhere, because they have more exposure to it than we do. And from a personal level, we had SLOs at Doncaster Rovers, where we had three that worked extremely well with the club, and all of them, you know, were volunteers. They all had different backgrounds, but they all operated very, very well and covered what needed doing between the three of them, up until a match day, then on a match day, and, you know, at away games as well. And where it is 100 things that need doing on that job spec, then if four of them can divide them up between them, then that's fine. If some of them don't get done some weeks, then equally, you know, we're flexible on that to work with them and to try and help people prioritise what needs doing. But we're not saying that everything has to be done every week, otherwise they're failing. It's a guideline, really. It's a guideline of the expectation and what we want them to do. And if four of them are doing all those things every week, then brilliant. But equally, it may not be time well spent. When the model we had for all of them to be doing them, I mean, the model we had at Doncaster, one of the guys could only do a couple of hours a week. One guy put probably 15, 20 hours in his own time. But one of them could only put, you know, they put different amount of time into it, but they covered everything that needed doing really well. And the important thing is, it's not us just going, right, go and sort the supporters out. It's us working with them. It's me working with the SLOs. It's them working with Alan Marshall to understand where the boundaries are. But also, we want people that are relevant to the fans, because I'm not necessarily relevant to the supporters, you know, on a match day. If we've got supporters that are then becoming SLOs, then they're always going to be more relevant to the supporters than someone in the shirt and tyres. And it's just another line of communication and allows us to support the supporters from the stands, rather than us sitting our perceived ivory towers, if you like, and just sit there and hope we don't have any problems, because we're totally aware there are problems every single match day. And while we're trying to improve things here, as we are doing with the stewarding, with everything else to do with the, you know, with the stadium, on a match day it's real, and that's when people really do have their, that's when this level of service comes into its own, if you like, because it'd be very easy of us to sit there and just wait for a complaint or an email on a Monday morning. But if we're down there trying to proactively help people get into the ground if they can't, give them directions, give away fans directions to the bars, like the Cooper Bar, or when we're going away, making sure our fans know where they're going, what turnstiles they're going to, and all those types of things. It really does help us bring more value to what our supporters are getting, and that is what we're after.
See, I was quite keen to get yourself on just to give us a wee bit more information in this, and I think that perhaps there was quite a lot of questions amongst the support just on the basis they didn't know a great deal of what the job entailed, or they hadn't seen it in action. How has the uptake been in terms of applications so far? Are you quite encouraged by the amount of people looking to get involved?
Yeah, I mean, at the minute with applications, we can probably recruit for each position 4 or 5 times. We haven't spoken to any of them yet, but you know, we will do. We'll go through a proper interviewing process, and we're going to get people like supporters direct involved in that recruitment process. So we've got an individual specialist, if you like, that's going to help us get the right people for those roles. So the uptake's been good. It's been, you know, we're encouraged by what we've received. We'll keep pushing. I think a story went out again today on the website about it all, and we'll keep pushing up until that deadline to recruit people. And then it's down to us to work with them, you know, to get the right people, you know, slotted in. Because again, it might well be we just recruit 4. It might well be we have people as, you know, as backup. We don't really know until we start talking to the people in depth about the role in more detail that we know who's going to be right or that we're right for them they're right for us and the role's right for them. So I mean that will come with time, but it's we are massively encouraged by what we've got, and the uptake has been good. We have had a lot of questions, which we're hopefully answering in a positive way. But also we've got other SLOs that they can talk to. If people want to, you know, we can direct them. Which I've directed numerous people to Dean, who's one of the SLOs at Doncaster, who will answer any questions. Honestly, you know, we can direct people to, you know, to John Paul at Celtic. There's other SLOs around the country we can point people to if they want further discussions on it. So we're not hiding behind anything at all, and I'm not saying anyone's accusing us of that. But you know, we want people to fully understand the role from talking to us or from talking to other SLOs, just because we want, you know, it needs to be right for them as well. So it's something that's really exciting for the club and can really help. It can help me, it can help Alan Marshall, it should, you know, ultimately help the supporters on a match day, because if they know who to go to rather than the, you know, the people in yellow jackets, then that trust is a better thing and helps them. So you know, while we try to improve our stewarding here, which has already taken some positive steps, it's something that can support that, and I think support Alan Marshall and Alan Burrows and everyone else at the club as they continue to you know, recruit people that are only here to make the club better.
You mentioned earlier on the survey. I can imagine that it's a huge task undertaking something like that, and having to decipher and get to grips with all the feedback and the general consensus from a large number of responses. But again, that's something to me that seems a very positive idea. It seems forward thinking and a good way to engage with the supporters. You seemed very, very positive about it as well, in terms of the volume of responses and some of the suggestions and feedback that you got.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, in any, and calling a football club a business is a horrible thing to do, but in any business that offers a service, you need to be talking to the people that are using, you know, using that service, and in this instance, you know, as a football club, you need to talk to the supporters. And there's no point me sitting here. I can think of that needs improving and that needs improving, but it's not about me. As much as I hate that as a egotistical marketing person, it's not always about me. And you know, it's important for us to understand what the supporters want and what change they want or improvements they want. And that's why we did the survey, because we need to understand that before we go making changes. And, you know, I think I said to you before, a lot of the complaints we had, or the feedback we had, was about the stewarding. And that's something we're already undertaking, but we'll do something on the website through our channels shortly, you know, with Alan Marsh about how he's trying to improve the stewarding, how, you know, and his visions for it. And that, I'd say things like that have already started to make improvements. You know, the commercial side, Alan Burrows has, you know, employed three people in there that will have a more positive impact on the commercial side of the business. And that's not just about us, you know, offering fans incentives. That's about them trying to get more money into the club, because ultimately that money goes into the playing budget. And that's what people, you know, that's what we hope fans will understand, is that when significant changes like that, you know, people leave the business and people come in, the vision is always there for them to, you know, to be bringing more money in, which is what you know, Susie Reed's there to do. And that's what her team, you know, are already doing. For example, leading this back into the survey, people wanted more going on in the Cooper bar, which we've already started to do. Now, we've only really scratched the surface with, you know, with the improvements with the face painting that you've already enjoyed, or your daughter's already enjoyed.
Yeah, before. I was going to say, I've not personally enjoyed it.
You didn't go all Phoenix night on us.
maybe the next game.
Still time. But, you know, little things like that with, you know, that we have the PlayStation in there, we've got the face painting back in there, we're encouraging away supporters into the Cooper Bar, which again, ultimately just gets us more money. We've taken more money since we've started actively promoting the Cooper Bar than we would have done. We've probably doubled the money we're taking each match day to the equivalent game last season, if that makes sense. And when you look at it, the team aren't performing any better, probably not as well. But we will always try and do what we can to get more money into the club. And then, like I say, ultimately that money goes back into the first team, and that's what it's about. And that's, again, that comes from the survey. You know, people want improvements in these bars. So what are we going to do to make it better? And it has to start somewhere. And it's nowhere near where we want it to be. You know, I'm not going to hide behind that. But that can become, we want people to, again, from the information we've had on the survey, we want people to come into the signing zone, which is, again, that is the most unique thing across the whole of football. No other club does that. And that's something that was here before, you know, before my time. So the way that the club have introduced that is brilliant, but we want people to come to that, then go into the Cooper Bar and have some food and drinks up there, and then be going into a concourse that has, you know, got its own entertainment on or whatever that may be. And like I say, that's the utopia of what we're trying to do, and the feedback supported that. And that's where we can use it positively, is to try and say, well, our fans want to come here earlier, so what are we going to do, you know, to entertain them when they're here? Obviously, the football's the biggest reason people come, but we need to fill the time between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock of activities for people to do. And there's a lot of people that won't change their match day routines. We fully understand that, but we need to work with those that want to come in earlier, want to enjoy the family club that we are. So we need to make it better for those families. And like I say, face painting and Xbox and more people going up there is a start. But, you know, we need to then build on that. And so it's all very, very positive. And there's various other things that we're working, other issues, I will call them issues, that people raise. There's things like buying online. There's no real option to buy online, and the reason to buy tickets online, which again in this day and age is suicide for, you know, for anyone that's trying to attract people to an event, in our case a game, for us not to offer that. So we're looking at working with our ticketing partners to try and improve that service. And again, that's part of my remit. So I'm currently talking to our current suppliers about how we upgrade the system. But there's obviously going to be a significant cost with that. So it's just working within that, you know, within those budgets of how we can look at the longer term benefit of more of our fans buying online against the cost of it. But that's down to us internally to sort out, because again, ultimately we want the fans to be able to be sat on their lounge, on their sofa, in the pub, on a bus, at work, wherever, and be able to buy a ticket online, because to us that takes the pressure off us on a turnstile, but also allows our supporters to be able to buy to buy a ticket and to be able to make ourselves more accessible, if that makes sense. So there's numerous things that we are working on like that, but It's just, you know, some are short term and you know, some are going to be, you know, longer term projects. But it's all the stuff that came in is, a lot of it we probably, I thought it was a fair amount of it that we already knew needed improving, but then we have to listen to, you know, supporters and try and prioritise based on what they're saying.
And I know that in the previous podcast that you were on, you mentioned the need to take care of the fans that are already attending and not in the case of to ignore those that are no longer going or have kind of fallen away from football, but it is a concerning start to look at that the attendances continue to fall, just over 3,500 at the game on Saturday, and that's despite the appointment of a new manager. I know the team are struggling in the park. It does make things difficult, doesn't it, when unfortunately the fans aren't turning out perhaps in the way that they used to.
Yep, and it is concerning. It is frustrating, and all of the above. But that's why we can't ignore it, and we won't ignore it. But I mean, until we can guarantee a 1-0 win every week, you need a plan, and no one is ever going to be able to guarantee a 1-0 win every week. So I mean, the plan has started, if you like. You know, everything I mentioned, you know, a few moments ago is part of a plan to make it better here. If we can make it better here, then we're doing what we can to improve what's already here. If we don't do anything at all and we stand still, then we've only got ourselves to blame for people not coming back, because the result obviously is a massive, massive reason of why a supporter will come back. But if we're giving people a better opportunity to buy a ticket weeks in advance of a game, and they're buying a ticket, they're more likely to come to the game. If that makes sense, rather than if they turn up on a... Sorry?
No, absolutely, it does, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, again, that's going to guarantee us a bigger crowd, but we've put ourselves in a better position for people not to come. And I think on Saturday, it rained. I'm not saying the crowd was low because it rained, but it rained at a horrendous time, around between 10 and half 11, I think it was. It absolutely lashed it down. And I think, you know, the timing of the rain is a time where people are probably making a decision about what they're going to do today. And I'm not saying that rain took 5,000 people off the gate, but it could have an impact. But again, if we're doing something to make people buy a ticket earlier, the rain all of a sudden isn't so much of a problem, if that makes sense. And it's things like that. Like, the online ticketing can help. The making it better when supporters come here, you know, is another thing. I'm talking to Derek Watson at the moment about, you know, obviously with his musical links, can he help us put on some entertainment at games that again can make it more of a event, if that makes sense. But also encourage local musicians to, you know, to come and play some music and to have an audience and to be able to give them, you know, a chance to perform in front of a crowd or something like that. So there's lots of things like that we're trying to do to improve things here, because I can't do anything about the pitch, you know. So that's the frustrating thing in my job, is you've got a product that will let people down a lot of the time in any football club you work with. So that's why we have to focus on what we can control and in making it better, because it's not good enough at the minute. We are trying to make it better, and if we're doing everything we can off the pitch to improve things, then that should bring more added value to supporters that are paying, you know, their money every single week. It will never take away the frustration of a loss or a last minute equaliser or something like that. But again, it's just working with supporters to understand what they want, and us trying to deliver it should take away some of that pain, and therefore help us retain those supporters that are coming.
So kind of just to finish up, and again, I would like to thank you for giving up your time. I know you've been very busy since you've come in, and the work that you're doing is certainly noticeable, and let's hope that it it starts to pay off in terms of punters coming back into the game, and also people rightfully praising you and your team on the improved match day experience at Fir Park. But it's obviously been around about 4 or 5 months now since you're in the job. I hope I'm right in saying that. Do you feel like there's many things to be positive about despite the kind of troubles on the park just now?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's very easy to be negative. It's very, you know, we've had comments today. You know, we released some news today about the commercial team and them being, you know, here, and the new commercial team brought here to bring more money into the club, as I said earlier, that will put more budget into the purse thing if they're successful and when they're successful. But people even want to turn that into a negative, you know, or how much money must they be earning to get them from Celtic? Well, it's, you know, any positive news you can put out can be turned into a negative. And I think that's what we need to avoid. We need to focus on the positives. We do some wonderful things with it, you know, with the community trust, you know, the incentives that they're doing. We're doing, the club have now got the resource to listen to supporters and to try and improve things. And I think that in itself is a massive, massive positive. There's not many, you know, CEOs that will be available on Twitter, you know, for comment. There's not many clubs that have their whole senior management team that are on Twitter that will talk to supporters. There's things like that that are massively positive at the club. And all these changes have come about, or are coming about, because we're talking to supporters and trying to understand what they want. And I think that's where this club is, you know, is really, really unique. It's, we want to listen and we want to improve things, because ultimately we want that gate to stop falling. We want people to you know, to enjoy coming here more, and to be bringing the next generations through and doing enough for them when they're here. And I think the club's in a, results frustrate people, and I get that. I'm not hiding from that, but I just think there's, amongst the negativity and, you know, the negativity of recent weeks, there's so much going on here that is for the betterment of Motherwell Football Club, and I think that's what we have to understand. You know, is happening. If nothing's improved in another 12, 18 months' time, then rightfully so, people can come at us and say how rubbish we are. But there'll be significant changes in that time. And then once these projects are completed, there'll be other things that we need to work on. So it's an ongoing process. It's things will take time, but, you know, because I think people that want to be positive know, can see what's happening. There is the element out there that I've always said to you that will all, you know, that the element that if you paid them 50 quid, they'd want 60 quid eventually. There are always going to be those supporters in every single football club. But I think the masses do realise that we are trying to improve things, and we are improving things, and I think that's what we have to try and focus on rather than get bogged down in any negativity. And one more thing I wanted to say, Andy, before we finish, was we've got our season ticket campaign that we're starting to build at the moment for, you know, for next season. And one of the questions we asked in that survey was, what does Motherwell Football Club mean to you? I think it wasn't in the initial survey, it was in a follow-up survey that we did over Christmas, which was, what does Motherwell Football Club mean to you? And the reason I did that, I asked that question, was I wanted to understand a bit more about the DNA of the Motherwell supporter, from my own point of view, so we know what we're working towards and working with. But also, we wanted to take some of those answers and build them into our marketing for next year, because I think it's better for us to create something that the supporters have come up with rather than something that someone with the shirt and ties put on, because then our fans can identify with it. And again, that just helps us. That should help any message that we're putting out there penetrate further if our supporters are, you know, because we want our supporters to create our image, our, you know, our DNA for next season, if you like. And again, that's something that is quite exciting to be working with, is going through that feedback and then trying to build that into our marketing, you know, the club next year, which is quite exciting. And I guess when it's out there, you'll understand that a bit more. But again, it's just stuff like that that's quite unique to the club. I think no other club would do that, and that's what we need to. That's what fans need to be proud of, is that we're talking to supporters, we're listening to them, and then we're actioning on what they say. And I think you know, to sign off, if I ever shut up, this is going to be a box set at this rate, isn't it? but there's just, you know, Alan Burrow, you know, is running the club. And it's employing people that want to move it forward and that are moving it forward. And I think people need to understand that. Like I said, it will take time, but every day when we come into work, he will ask us what we're doing, and ask us what we're doing to make it better. And that could be for a commercial supporter, or for the guys that, and the girls that go and sit in the stands. And everything we do here is all engineered towards making it better for people that are coming here. So it's a really, really exciting time. It's a great club to work at. Results aren't great on the pitch at the minute, but you know that won't go on forever. So I think when we come out of the slump off the pitch and things pick up again, everything around the club should be a lot more positive because of what we're all trying to work towards.
Ryan, thanks again, mate, and all the very best with the projects. We've certainly follow up with a lot of interest and wish you all the best.
Thanks very much.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.
The subsidies are taking control. Eyes look back, those surround the room. In the back of my car, she changed her tune. Same black Converse, wife in the verse. Say something stronger, say something stronger. Same black Converse, wife in the verse. Say something stronger, say something stronger. Falling down the street.
Say something stronger, say something stronger. Say what comes, boyfriend of us. Say something stronger, say something stronger.